So we're reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 1, Text 84. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So this is one of the 14 verses that Krishnadas Kaviraj begins with, that he expands on in the course of the Adi Lila. And in this particular section, Prabhupada doesn't give a purport to this verse, but a few verses later he does, for this text 94 in the same chapter. So I'll just read that purport. The poetical comparison of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to the sun and moon is very significant. The living entities are spiritual sparks, and their constitutional position is to render service, devotional service, to the Supreme Lord in full Krishna consciousness. So-called pious activities and other ritualistic performances, pious or impious, as well as the desire to escape from material existence, are all considered to be coverings of these spiritual sparks. The living entities must get free from these superfluous coverings and fully engage in Krishna consciousness. The purpose of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda is to dispel the darkness of the soul. Before their appearance, all these superfluous activities of the living entities were covering Krishna consciousness. But after the appearance of these two brothers, people's hearts are becoming cleansed, and they are again becoming situated in the real position of Krishna consciousness. Om Aginata Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vashakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brindavaneshwade Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this beautiful verse, once more. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Hare Krishna. So it's a rather overwhelming service to try to glorify a personality like Lord Nityananda. So we pray for his mercy and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara and all of you, that we can touch maybe a small drop, part of a drop, of the ocean of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's glories. I thought we could start with what's called the ontological situation of Lord Nityananda, his existence or his being. Who is Lord Nityananda? So to begin at the beginning, we must begin with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the creator of the material and spiritual worlds. There is no one equal to him, no one greater than him. He is known as the reservoir of all pleasure. And he, by his own volition, by his own desire, expands. And he has many types of expansions. One is called Prakash, Prakash Vigraha. Prakash Vigraha is known because each and every one of the expansions of Prakash Vigraha are identical to Sri Krishna. You cannot tell them apart. And the example is that during the Rasa dance, Krishna expanded to be with each and every one of the innumerable gopis, and all the Krishnas looked identical. That is Prakash Vigraha. And if you want to know who is the original Krishna, you must see where is Radharani. And Radharani is dancing with the original Krishna. So we find the very vivid example from Lord Brahma in his Brahma Samhita that these expansions are compared to candles. So we have one original candle, and from that original candle, you can light innumerable other candles. And they'll all look alike, but there is one that's original. So Krishna is that original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those Prakash Vigraha are his identical expansions. But he also expands in what's called Vilas Vigraha. And Vilas Vigraha means that they are Krishna, but they don't look exactly like Krishna. And the first Vilas Vigraha expansion is Lord Balaram. So Krishna, as we know, has the complexion of a beautiful monsoon cloud, whereas Balaram looks like a very beautiful spring cloud. He's whitish in complexion. And they also have a different mood, that Lord Balaram is called the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, that he is always looking for opportunities to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he comes with this mood of servitor. And Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. And so we find in his pastimes with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And so Lord Nityananda is always looking for ways to serve Lord Chaitanya. And he derives great joy from that service, the joy of service. And it's reflected in his name. Nitya means eternal, and Ananda means blissful. So he's eternally blissful in his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he himself, Balaram or Nityananda, has many expansions also. And those are truly extraordinary. One is called Mahasankarshan, who is the support of the entire spiritual world, Mahasankarshan. And it's described in this very Chaitanya Charitamrita that we're reading, that at the time of the dissolution of the universes, that means all the universes, there's the inhalation of Mahavishnu, who is also an expansion of Balaram. And when Mahavishnu inhales, all the universes enter into him, as well as the living entities, each and every one of us enter into him. And we are reposed in the body of Mahasankarshan until the next exhalation. So if we still have material desires at the next exhalation of Mahavishnu, all the universes are again manifested from the pores of his body. And at that time, by the glance of Mahavishnu, the living entities are impregnated into this material world to continue their sojourn of samsara, of birth and rebirth according to their various desires. So this Mahasankarshan is an expansion of Balaram, who is Nityananda. And then he also expands. Not only does he support all the spiritual worlds, but he also expands as Mahavishnu, who is pictured in this painting in our temple room, that he lies in the causal ocean. And from him, as I was saying, the universes emanate. Then he expands again to enter into each and every universe as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And from him, Lord Brahma is born. Lord Brahma is responsible for creating the various 8,400,000 species of life. And then again he expands. So we have Balaram, Mahasankarshan, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He expands again, Kshiradakshay Vishnu. And as Kshiradakshay Vishnu, the various incarnations of this universe are manifest. And also he enters the heart of each and every living entity as super soul. So this is an expansion of Lord Balaram within our hearts. He's very close to us. So who can understand Lord Balaram ontologically? It's really beyond our conception. Inconceivable, as one says. Achintya. But nonetheless, based on the authorized scriptures, we relish and rejoice in these explanations. And we also can relate to Nityananda very much because he also appears amongst us. Just 500 years ago, he appeared in the village of Ekachakra. It's described where the Ganges does not flow. And he was the son of a great devotee named Hadai Pandit, and his wife, also an exalted Vaishnavi, Padmavati. And on his appearance, it was noted how beautiful he was. And he became the cynosure of his parents' eyes. He was peaceful, he was intelligent, he was virtuous. And Hadai Pandit, whenever he went anywhere, he would want to take Nimai with him. If he went to the market, he would want to have Nimai with him. If he went to see his fields that were planted, he would take Nimai with him. If he went to the various temples in Ekachakra, again, he would want Nimai always to be with him. He was very attached to his eldest son, Nityananda Prabhu. And then by and by, Nityananda enjoyed games with his friends. But the unique feature of these games was that they were completely Krishna-centered. That he would be the script writer for these games that they would play, and he would be the director, and he would also act in the plays. And so they enacted all the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. That one little boy would dress up as a cow, and the boy would come to another boy who was dressed up as Lord Brahma and say, "Demons are overrunning my planet Earth. Please, I need help." And Lord Brahma and Bhumi Devi would go to a small lake, and they would pray there, accompanied by many other boys dressed as demigods, saying, "The Earth planet is overrun by demons. Please help us." And in that way, Krishna told them, "I shall appear, all of you appear first in the land of Braj, and then I will appear also." And they would reenact the pastime of the marriage of Devaki and Vasudev and Kamsa, threatening to kill her because it was foretold that her eighth child would kill him. So all these dramatic pastimes were going on, Agasura, Bakasura. Sometimes they would get leaves and make a cart, shaped like a cart. And Nityananda Prabhu most often played the part of Krishna. So he lay under the cart and kicked it. And then Shakatasura came out and was killed by him. So these were wonderful pastimes. I have actually a page that I printed out from the Chaitanya Bhagavat that describes one pastime, which I wanted to read to you so you get the full flavor from Vrindavan Das Thakur. This was a little bit later, after the pastimes of Krishna were enacted. And for this pastime, it was a pastime of Lord Ramachandra, and for this one, Nityananda Prabhu played the role of Lakshman, because indeed he was Lakshman when Ramachandra appeared. So this is what Vrindavan Das Thakur writes. Nityananda Prabhu made one boy play the part of Vibhishan. He took the boy to Lord Ramachandra, who crowned him king of Lanka. Then one boy declared, I am Ravana. Now I will kill you with my Shakti Shila weapon. Protect yourself, O Lakshman. He's talking to Nityananda Prabhu. Saying this, the boy struck Lord Nityananda with a lotus flower, and the Lord promptly fell to the ground. Wrapped in thinking of himself as Lakshman, the Lord fainted. Everyone tried to waken him, but he would not be wakened. There was no consciousness anywhere in his body. Placing their heads in their hands, the boys wept. Hearing of this, the Lord's mother and father ran there. They saw that there was no consciousness in his body. They fainted and fell to the ground. Seeing this, everyone was surprised. When the boys described all that had happened, someone said, "I know the reason for this. Previously, when he heard the words, 'Ram went to the forest,' the boy actor pretending to be Dasharath acted as if the life had left his body. If someone dresses as Hanuman and gives Nityananda medicine, then he will become cured. Previously, the Lord instructed everyone, 'When I fall to the ground, you all gather around me and weep. After a moment's delay, send for Hanuman. When he holds the medicine to my nose, my life will return.'" Entering the mood of Lakshman, Lord Nityananda fell unconscious. Seeing this, the boys became very worried. Everyone was bewildered. The Lord's instruction did not appear in their thoughts. Saying, "Rise, brother," they wept loudly. Hearing these words from someone's mouth, the boys remembered. A boy dressed like Hanuman at once ran off. Then another boy, dressed as an ascetic, met Hanuman on the path, praised him, and offered him fruits and roots. He said, "Stay here, my son, and bless my ashram. I am very fortunate to meet a person like yourself." Hanuman replied, "I must continue my mission. I wish to go. I cannot stay. You must have heard that Ravana hit Ramachandra's younger brother Lakshman with a Shakti Shila weapon and made him fall unconscious. That is why I am now going to the Gandhamadana mountain. Getting medicine there, I will save his life." Then the ascetic said, "You must go. If you must go, then first bathe and eat. Then you will be victorious." Filled with wonder, everyone gazed at the boys as they spoke these lines Lord Nityananda Prabhu had given them. After the ascetic spoke these words, Hanuman went to bathe in a lake. A boy who was wading in the water grabbed Hanuman's foot. Dressed as a crocodile, the boy pulled Hanuman into the water. Then the boy Hanuman dragged the crocodile onto the shore. After a few moments of battle, heroic Hanuman defeated the crocodile. Then a boy dressed as a Rakshasa tried to eat Hanuman. The Rakshasa said, "You defeated the crocodile. How will you defeat me? I will eat you. Then how will you save Lakshman's life?" Hanuman replied, "Your Ravana is a dog. He is pathetic. You should flee." First they hurled insults at each other, then they pulled each other's hair, then they fought with fists. After a few moments, Hanuman playfully defeated the Rakshasa and then went to Gandhamadana mountain. Then Hanuman battled with some boys dressed as Gandharvas. After defeating the Gandharvas, Hanuman carried Gandhamadana mountain on his head. Dressed as a physician and placing the medicine to Lord Nityananda's nose, a boy said, "Remember Sri Ram." Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu at once stood up. Seeing this, his mother, father, and everyone else smiled and laughed. Hadai Pandit ran to the Lord and embraced him. All the boys were happy. Everyone said, "Son, where did you learn all this?" Smiling, the Lord replied, "These are my pastimes." Hare Krishna. So this was the notable feature of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's early life. engaged in vivid remembrance of the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Ram, and playing a very active role in training his, teaching his associates those pastimes. It's described that at one point the boys enacted the pastime of Akura coming to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And on that occasion, Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not play the part of Krishna, but he took the part of a gopi. And he wept uncontrollably. No one had seen anyone, any child weep, as Lord Nityananda Prabhu wept during that pastime. So by and by, an ascetic, a sannyasi, came to Ekachakra, and he was hosted by Hadai Pandit. And they had wonderful Krishna Katha together. And when that sannyasi was about to leave, Hadai Pandit offered something to him in charity. He said, "What can I give you in charity?" As a householder is wont to do with a visiting sannyasi. And the sannyasi said, "I am traveling alone. I need an assistant. I would like to take your eldest son with me." And Hadai Pandit, of course, did not at all want to be separated from Nityananda Prabhu. That was a horrible, horrible thought for him. But he meditated that he had offered something in charity from his heart, and that was requested by this very pure sannyasi. And he consulted with Padmavati, who said that she would abide by his decision. And he also meditated on King Dasarath. When Vishvamitra came, King Dasarath allowed Ram to go, although it caused King Dasarath's demise eventually. So with these things in mind, Hadai Pandit gave permission to this sannyasi, and Nityananda Prabhu, who was only 12 years old, he was still quite young, he started traveling with this sannyasi, and those travels went on for years and years, 20 years they traveled. And they went to all the holy places of India, every holy place you can think of, from the south, Kanyakumari, to the north, Hardwar and Bhadarik Ashram, where he met Vedavyas, and Gaya, he went to Gaya, all the holy places he went. And finally he came to Mathura, Vrindavan. And there he waited until he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has started his Sankirtan movement. He simply waited there patiently. And when he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had indeed started his Sankirtan movement in Navadvip, then Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to Navadvip to join the Sankirtan party. And at first he went to the house of Nandanacharya. That house is still there today. It's very near the ISKCON Mayapur property. And he was hiding there. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said just a few days before he arrived, Lord Nityananda arrived, he said, "Someone, an extraordinary personality is coming to this area." And the devotees were curious, "Who is this personality?" And then after he had arrived, Lord Chaitanya mentioned that he is here now in our vicinity. And he asked the devotees to find him. So a few devotees went out, and they looked in the homes, they looked in the marketplaces, they looked in the temples, and they came back and said, "We don't find anyone new here." So Lord Chaitanya took all the devotees to Nandanacharya's home, and there he and Nityananda Prabhu were reunited. And it was a very emotional reunion between the two of them. And from that time on, Nityananda Prabhu devoted himself to preaching. It's very interesting that prior to that, although he was traveling widely and must have met many, many people, he did not preach the Sankirtan movement. He waited for the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when that order came, then he became an avid preacher, as we know. So one of the primary characteristics, we could say, of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, if we see his pastimes as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj, one common thread through almost all the pastimes is Nityananda Prabhu's kindness. That he is considered like Lord Balaram, he's the original spiritual master. And he has tremendous spiritual strength. And so the spiritual masters are representatives of Lord Nityananda. And they are also very kind in the sense that they want all of us, without discrimination, to come closer to Krishna. And we could just relate a few of these pastimes to impress upon you this very important point, because all of us are supposed to represent our spiritual master, which means also we should represent this quality of kindness to help others come closer to Krishna, despite whatever anomalies they may have, however they are impacted by the modes of goodness and passion and ignorance. Despite all that, we want them to come closer to Krishna. And this is the example set by Lord Nityananda. First and foremost, of course, is the famous pastime of Jagai and Madhai, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered them meaning Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, that whoever you see, you simply ask them to chant the names of Krishna, to worship Krishna. You tell them that Krishna is their everything, their mother, their father. Have them take shelter of Krishna. And so they were doing this with some success, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda, until they came to these two debauchees. You're probably familiar with the story. They were born in good families, but they had become frighteningly debauchees in that they drank and they broke all the regulative principles. They were violent. They would even commit arson, to the point that even the police were afraid of them. They're so powerful. And so at first, these two brothers, Jagai and Madhai, chased Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, and they were running away. And Haridas Thakur said to Nityananda, "You must be a madman trying to preach to these very fallen people." And Nityananda Prabhu said that we're just following the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he must be the madman asking us to do such things. Then they came back the next day, and at this time, as we know, Jagai picked up a broken pot and threw it at Nityananda Prabhu and made him bleed in his forehead. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was furious, and he was ready to kill them. He was ready to kill Jagai and Madhai. And Nityananda Prabhu stopped him and said, "Actually, Jagai protected me from being hit again by Madhai." And so he also said that in this age, people are fallen. This is the age of Kali. People are very unqualified for spiritual life, very distracted. And so, if you kill Jagai and Madhai and their followers, who will be left? Who will be left to preach to? So it was from the kindness of Nityananda that Jagai and Madhai were saved from the wrath of Lord Chaitanya and became great, great Vaishnavas, exemplary Vaishnavas, very humble Vaishnavas. There's many other examples. One is from the life of Krishnadas Kaviraj himself, that he was living with his family in Bengal, and a great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu came. His name was Miniketana Ramdas. And Miniketana Ramdas was not honored by the priest who was serving at the home of Krishnadas Kaviraj. He was not respected because this priest had a misconception that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very important, but Nityananda Prabhu was not so important. And unfortunately, this misconception was also there in Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother. And so Miniketana Ramdas was quite upset by this misunderstanding, this misconception, and he left. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he chastised his brother for having this misconception. He said that, of course, we don't do these things, but there are people who keep hens, and ignorant farmers, they think, well, The eggs, which give me profit, they're coming from the rear end of the hen. And the front end, the face, is what I have to feed, which is unfortunate. I have to spend my money feeding, so let me cut the hen in half and just have the eggs and not have the botheration and expense of feeding. So it's half a hen logic. And so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said that these two, they're like one body. They're two people, but they're like one body. You cannot separate them. You should not distinguish between them. And that night, that very night, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had a dream. It's described. He himself describes it. So if you'll allow me, I'll read it directly from him. He says here, now I'm reading from Adi Leela, chapter 5, text number 180. That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. In the village of Jamatapura, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. Upon arising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy, blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted Krishna, Krishna in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hands, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted Krishna, Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans around him. Thus I saw such opulence in Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. O my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, he directed me toward Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke. And when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second, Hare Krishna, that very second, I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy, I reached there in great happiness. All glory to Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. So there we have direct experience from Krishnadas Kaviraj, his experience with Nityananda Prabhu, glorious experience. So we are indebted to Nityananda Prabhu for Krishnadas Kaviraj going to Vrindavan and hearing from Murari Gupta, from Raghunath Das Goswami, from Rupa Goswami, from Sanatana Goswami, and compiling this beautiful, beautiful biography of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And similarly, we're indebted to Vrindavan Das Thakur for his Chaitanya Bhagwat, and he was also inspired to do that service by Nityananda Prabhu. So these are more aspects of Nityananda Prabhu's kindness upon us, that he's inspired these great personalities to write so that we can enjoy and learn by reading their writings and try to absorb some understanding of who is Lord Nityananda and who is Lord Chaitanya and what they did and how they did it and their associates as well. So another example of Lord Nityananda's kindness is with Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a very wealthy landholder, Govardhan, and Govardhan's brother, Hiranya, was also very wealthy, and they very much wanted Raghunath Das to remain a householder in their village and take over their empire, as it were, a small empire. And Raghunath Das, within his heart, he simply wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's all that he wanted. And at one point he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya recommended to him that within your heart you maintain this desire for spiritual life, but externally you act like a pound, shilling, pence person, a business person. Do your responsibilities very conscientiously, but keep that desire burning within you. So Raghunath Das Goswami followed that. Of course, at that time he was not a Goswami, Raghunath Das. And after some time, he decided that he wanted to meet Nityananda Prabhu, who at that point was in Panihati. So he went to Panihati, and there was Nityananda sitting on a rock underneath a tree near the river, near the Ganges, looking effulgent like thousands and thousands of moons. And he was surrounded by his associates. So it was a glorious sight, and from a distance, Raghunath Das offered his prostrated obeisances. And Nityananda Prabhu saw him and said, "You come here, you're like a thief, that you're keeping something that is mine, you're keeping it from me." And so eventually Raghunath Das heard from Lord Nityananda his punishment for being a thief. And that punishment was he wanted to have a festival, a chipped rice festival. And he asked Raghunath Das to provide chipped rice for all the devotees. And these, he made two types of chipped rice for this occasion. One was soaked in condensed milk, and one was soaked in yogurt. And they had bananas as well, and some camphor and sugar. And he made huge quantities. And as people heard about this festival, more and more people came. And shopkeepers came, and Raghunath Das, with his great wealth, bought their ingredients and fed them, the shopkeepers, with the same ingredients he had bought from them. And in this way, he held this huge chipped rice festival, and Lord Nityananda was very pleased. And by his pleasure, the pleasure of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came, although most people could not see him there, but he was there. And they had a wonderful pastime where they would take a little bit of chipped rice from each of the pots, and Lord Nityananda would push some into the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would take a little bit of chipped rice and push it into the mouth of Lord Nityananda. And in this way they did that, although it was unseen by most people, nonetheless it was going on. And it became so crowded that some people had to take their pots of chip rice and actually go into the water of the Ganges because there was no place proper for them to sit elsewhere. So it was a tremendously successful, joyous festival. And at the end of it, Lord Nityananda again spoke with Raghunath Das and said that you have done this so wonderfully. Lord Chaitanya is pleased, and he will surely remove the impediments for you, and you'll be able to join him in Jagannath Puri very soon. So this again is an example of the kindness of Lord Nityananda. There's so many examples we could cite. For example, When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was in ecstasy, and he wanted to go to Vrindavan in his ecstasy. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu told some cowherd boys who were in the area that when Lord Chaitanya comes and asks you the way to Vrindavan, you please point the way to the Ganges instead. And so he did that, the cowherd boys did that, and diverted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was taken by Advaita Acharya to, again, to Shantipur. And at that time, the devotees from Navadvip, especially Sachimata, could come and see Lord Chaitanya. It would be the last time that they would see him in that environment. After that, they had to go to Puri to see him. And so again, this is Lord Chaitanya's being there in Shantipur. It was the kindness of Nityananda Prabhu that he enabled the devotees, especially Sachimata, to come and have this great festival before Lord Chaitanya started his very active preaching in Jagannath Puri. So that's yet another example. There are many, many others. I think we're supposed to stop at 9, is that correct? Yeah. So we just have a couple of minutes if anyone has any reflections. Roberto Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for these wonderful points of Nityananda. You said that he was using, like he was 20 years traveling around with a sadhu. So what is the significance of that? And what is Nityananda trying to teach us?
Well, we may note with profit that Lord Balaram also traveled to the holy places during the Battle of Kurukshetra, as did Nityananda Prabhu. And he became very learned. I mean, when we were reading just recently the story of Sakshi Gopal, that was related by Nityananda because he had heard it in his travels. Also, during his travels, he met Madhavendra Puri, and they had a very emotional and spiritually surcharged relationship at that time. So he gained so much, as we will gain so much, going to the holy places. He is setting the example. As the great people do, the common people should follow. And so we're also enjoined to go to the holy places to try to purify our lives, purify our consciousness, following in the steps of Balaram and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Prabhupada encouraged his followers to go annually to Navadvip and Vrindavan to become recharged for their preaching in the West. And many, many devotees continue to do that to this day. Sometimes they'll spend a month in Govardhan just hearing and chanting, so then they can go back to the West and preach with full vigor and spiritual strength.